the roses never fade. 277.
277. I like 272.
272. We're Baptists. We can all make a change if we want to. 272. Come on.
Carry my cross through the midnight. But come morning, there's glory for me. Thankful this morning to be a child of God. Thankful it seems like in the world that we live in, there's people that have a whole lot of hope and a lot of different things. But I'm thankful that the hope that I'm looking at is a confidence in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's a lively hope. He's the only hope for mankind.
Yeah.
And when I seem like this world gets a little difficult and it gets a little hard, I'm thankful that that song says, take one more look at Mount Calvary. And it gives me the strength to keep moving on. I'll find my rest by the river. Oh, I don't know what heaven's going to be like exactly, but I know it's going to be good.
Amen.
As Brother Strope says, it's going to be just right. Just right. So I'm looking forward to that place. I get to longing for it. I believe any child of God realizes that this world is not his home, but he's just a pilgrim, and he's just passing through. We're in search of a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a four-square city, whom Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place. That's where I'm going. And I'm looking for him. So this morning it's good to be here. And I just feel the need this morning to ask you if there's anything else upon your heart that needs to be said or done before we move any further in the service. Anything? Amen. Bless you, Sister Linda. Let's remember this morning. Anything else upon your heart?
God is good.
All the time. Amen. All right. This morning, my thought, I guess if I had to title this subject, Lord laid this on my heart. Beginning this last week, we're going to try to study and look through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights. And was studying over some of these things this week. And the Lord laid a thought on our heart that we want to take from the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where we'll take our reading lesson this morning. I guess if we have a title, this subject is And a world turned upside down. And a world turned upside down.
Amen.
And it seems to me that the day that we live in and we see a lot of things in this life, a lot of things that are going on, and we make a lot of references towards those things from week to week, and it seems like things might go in one ear and out the other. But I also want you to know that there were things that were going on as we go through and you begin to read about the apostles. You begin to read about the early church. And we can find even throughout the first chapter and the second chapter of the book of Acts how that the apostles, with an exception of one of Judas, and how that they were gathered together up in the upper room, and how that they were unified, and how that they were in prayer, and how that they were waiting upon what God had promised them. Now, the Lord had told them multiple times that he was going to go away. And yet they had a difficult time understanding that. They could not comprehend it. And yet even we realize some of the things we talked about Wednesday night, but even we realize how Thomas, that he had doubted about the Lord being resurrected. But they all doubted, the scripture says.
And even I was speaking to one of our preaching brethren back some time ago, and he said, well, I probably would have too. And I'll be honest with you, I'm sure that I would have been in that same camp. But here it is, Jesus, risen again, that he had spent about 40 days with them, teaching them the things that were pertaining to him and the scriptures and the kingdom of God. And he told them to tarry there in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. And we know then that they chose them out in one. They drew lots that the position of Judas might be replaced according to the scripture. And so then that we know the day of Pentecost came. That day of Pentecost representing the 50th day. And we know then that the Spirit of God came in like a rushing mighty wind. And this morning, as I was trying to speak upon those things Wednesday night, and I want to encourage you this morning that to me, I don't know how you feel, but Wednesday night is a necessary service for me. I get dragged down a little bit through the week, and I need that help. I need that encouragement through the week. I need to be around God's people. I need to be with them studying His Word that I might grow in His grace. As we realize there that the Apostle Paul, that he had a thorn in his side, and he had prayed three different times for God to remove it, and the Lord wouldn't remove it, but yet he said that His grace is sufficient. So this morning we grow in grace. The Lord permits us to grow in grace according to studying His Word and prayer. We draw closer to Him. Now, as the day of Pentecost came on and Peter standing boldly and preaching the things that God had laid upon his heart, and the modern world today will take those things saying that he spoke in a language that was according unto God. And the way I understand it and the way that I believe was that Peter and those apostles was able to speak in a tongue that they never had been able to study or learn, meaning a different language, and those people couldn't understand that then. So God give them that ability. Now we realize this morning that I believe that those gifts that those apostles had ceased with the apostles. But I want you to understand something this morning. As Jesus was leaving, he said it was expedient for him to go away. Why was it expedient? Why must he go away? So that the Comforter could come. And we realize this morning that that Comforter, the Spirit of God, would guide us into all truth. I want you to know something this morning. The Spirit of God will never lead us to do something that's contrary to His Word. It'll never lead us to do something that's contrary to the truth, because He guides us into all truth. Now, we find here the New Testament church was a young church. And they were very, what you'd say, almost in a sense, they were very vulnerable. But yet they were united, they were strong, and God was doing great things through them. Yes, they were faced with persecution. Yes, there was a man by the name of Stephen who preached Jesus Christ according to the Old Testament scriptures. And yet he was stoned. But through that we know that there was a man by the name of Saul who was standing there holding the coats of those that were stoning him. And I believe that that's when Paul come under conviction. I believe God convicted his heart then. And so you see, I believe that he kind of, as he described it there, he was talking about in, I believe it's in the 10th chapter of Romans. Don't quote me on that. But I believe that he was talking about there that his heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. And he said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And see, Paul, he had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He didn't understand. He had it according to the things that pertain to the Old Testament, the things that pertain to the law. And he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel, but he had no understanding truly about who God was. He thought that he did. But I want you to know then that when he come to that road of Damascus,
Paul's world was turned upside down. It was completely just turned upside down. So this morning, I want to try to look at a portion of this scripture here in the 17th chapter. And he says here in this first verse, he says, "Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and..." "Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they were come to Thessalonica, there was a synagogue of Jews. And Paul in his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, open and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy, and took upon them certain lewd fellows of the brazier sword, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken the security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading this morning. And I want to look here at what Paul being on his, what you'd say, his second missionary journey, I guess you could say. And we know that we can read about previously in some of the scripture where he had the Macedonia call. He had the vision of that man that was telling him to come over and come out and help them. And so I want you to understand here is the Apostle Paul, as he would be known to us, as I said there, that he was Saul, and he persecuted the Lord's church. My friend, he had decrees and letters that he was to go out, and that's why he was on his way to Damascus. But I want you to know that the Lord spoke to him. And we can read about that in the scriptures. But I want you to know that the Lord had spoken to him. And the Lord had called out to him. And Paul recognized who he was. And I want you to know then that I believe in my heart that that's when, my friend, that Paul, that we would know, that his world was turned upside down. Now I want you to understand something this morning. It seems like we're living in a world that seems turned upside down. It seems like everything that should be right, my friend, it seems like everybody's turned it the wrong way. It seems like they have come in and listen, it doesn't take a very knowledgeable person to understand that there's people that have made a mockery of the Word of God. They've made a mockery of who Jesus Christ is. You just turn on the television or open up the internet or any of those things, and my friend, they're running Christians down. They're running the name of God down. And my friend, this morning, I want you to know it seems like we're living in a world that's turned upside down. But I want you to understand something this morning. When God is in control, my friend, in a world that seems turned upside down, when Jesus Christ gets a hold of it, He'll turn it right side up. My friend, He'll turn it right side up. So I want you to see here that the Apostle Paul, that he was doing just exactly what God had called him out to do. I want you to know that this man had faced many persecutions. Just previously to this, we can read about how that he was shut up in prison. But my friend, that prison did not stop him. They sang songs, and they were testifying unto the goodness of God. And my friend, they were doing what the Lord had called him out to do. And we know then that there was a jailer and his whole house that was saved. We can read previously to this about a woman whose name was Lydia, that she was saved. And my friend, so the Apostle Paul was doing what God had called him out to do. So here it is, he comes up there to Thessalonica. And as he's passing through, he takes the opportunity upon, I guess, a span of 3 weeks and goes each Sabbath day that he might reason with them according to the Scriptures. And so he begins to open the Scriptures and he begins to teach them and preach to them that Christ must needs suffered and risen again from the dead, that the Jews whom I preach unto you is Christ. And so, my friend, this morning, I want you to know, I believe in all of my heart, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings this morning, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord has put on my heart. I believe prayer requests are good. I believe that prayer works, and we need to be praying for each other. But, my friend, I want you to know something this morning. As God's people, we need to get serious about the souls of these people that are lost and separated from God. My friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a world that's turned upside down. Everything that seems like it's going on in the world today, I tell you this morning, I don't know how much longer that we've got left. But I tell you this right now, I want to, as long as there's breath in my lungs, and God has given me the ability to tell people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that He came and paid a price for mankind that they might be saved. Listen to me this morning. I believe in all of my heart, as God's people, we need to have a burden for lost people. Listen, the Apostle Paul, yes, he was an apostle. Yes, God called him out to do a work. But my friend, there's others in this Scripture that weren't preachers, they never was called, but they was willing to tell people about Jesus Christ and what He could do in their life. Listen to me this morning. Has your life ever been turned upside down? Boy, mine has. There's been times in my life I felt like my world was just turned upside down. You know, the first time I ever experienced what it felt like for my world to be turned upside down, when I was a 9-year-old little boy, and I went to church with my grandparents one night. And I was just like any little kid was. I went to play after church was over with. We'd go outside and we'd play and trade cards with each other, and we was just kids. That's how it was back then. You'd go to church service, and after church was over, we'd go outside and we'd play with our friends out there in the yard or out in the grass. We was just being what kids was. But that night, I'm telling you that my world was turned upside down. I had no idea that I was lost. I didn't realize that I was lost until God's Word began to prick me in my heart. And my friend, the Spirit of God began to work inside of me, and He let me know that I was lost and I was separated from Him and that I was bound for hell without Jesus Christ. You ask me what Thomas Carter preached to me that night, I couldn't tell you, but I'll tell you this, he preached Jesus to me. He preached Jesus Christ, Him crucified and risen again. And you ask me today, what's going to reach a world that's turned upside down? It's preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen. My friend, that night my world was turned upside down. Oh, my heart was breaking. Oh, I was in trouble. The world today wants to tell people, well, simply come and repeat this prayer. I believe it like Paul preached it. I believe it like Paul says, that it's repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. I believe it like Paul said, if you go on over into the 17th chapter, that Paul said that he's commanded men everywhere to repent. Repent of what? Their sin. And my friend, you don't stand before me guilty. Listen, the world doesn't stand before me guilty, but they stand before a righteous judge, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They stand before Him. They'll answer to Him. They won't answer to me. In a world today that seems turned upside down, the only thing that's going to turn it right side up is Jesus Christ. These people had stirred up a mob as Paul began to preach about Jesus. And that He was the Christ. That He had risen from the dead. And my friend, I believe Jesus gave them evidence. I believe He told them, I've seen the light. I've heard His voice. My friend, this morning, I've never heard His audible voice. But I've heard Him speak to the intent of my heart. I know that He's real. I know what He done for me as a little boy. I know that it's real. I've seen the light of God shine out in a dark world. The gospel message, the truth of His Word shining out in the darkness. Yes, the world seems turned upside down. But Paul was standing sure, and he was telling them about Jesus. He was telling them about the one he had trusted in. The one that had changed his heart. The one he had had an experience with. And you know what? Some of those Jews, they began to have an uproar. They began to stir up a mob. They said, oh, we can't have this. We can't have this. And my friend, what these people meant for evil, I believe God used for good. They said, these people have come here. Listen to what he says. It says, when they had found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And my friend, I pray, listen to me this morning, I pray as God's people that He would put a zeal in our hearts. My friend, a zeal that is according to knowledge, that is according to what God has given us. My friend, a zeal to go out into the world. He's commissioned His church, not just the preacher. Yes, I realize what Paul says here in the Corinthian letter. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, my friend, this morning, I believe in all of my heart that the gospel message through a man that's been called to preach His holy word. And I'll tell you this morning, my experience in being called is just as real to me, my friend, as when God saved my soul. I can take you to the place where God spoke to my heart and He said, go tell them about me. But my friend, as God's people, we ought to all have a zeal in our heart to go out and turn the world upside down. Listen, to turn it right back turn the world right side back up. Telling the world about this Jesus that's done a work in your heart, that's saved you. When we sang that song, come morning, my friend, there's glory for me. Why is there glory for you? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has reached down in the depths of your heart, just like He did Paul, and He's changed that inward man. He's washed in the blood of the Lamb, and He's given you a home in heaven. Now listen to me. There ain't a thing in this world that we can do on our own, is it? Oh, I've tried it. Just as sure as I'm called to preach, I'm gonna tell you, I've tried this on my own before. I have. You know what happened? I was whipped like a dog. When God is in it, there ain't nowhere else I'd rather be. But I'm telling you this, if God ain't going to help me, I'd just soon sit out there in my vehicle. I'm going to tell you this, church. It goes with that in church service. My friend, that we ought to have a zeal for God. A want to. Brother Don, you say all the time, he talked about when the Lord saves your soul, he changes your want to. And my friend, we ought to have a want to. In a world that seems so turned upside down, do you remember the times when God, do you remember when your world was turned upside down? World, God turned my world upside down when he saved my soul. Oh, there was trouble. It just flooded my heart. My heart was breaking. You say, preacher, you're just 9 years old. Oh, my heart was broke. But when God stepped in and he saved me, you know what happened? He turned my world right back up again. It didn't seem, you know what that means to me about a world being turned upside down? There's chaos. And that's what they were saying. These people's come in here and they've stirred all this chaos. Listen to me this morning. Jesus Christ this morning, if there's chaos that's going on in your life, if you know this morning that you're lost and that you're separated from God, and listen to me this morning, if you know that if you was to die right now and die without God, why would you continue to sit here? Why would you continue to go through service after service knowing that you're lost, knowing that you're separated, when yet the Word of God compels you, it tells you, His Holy Spirit is drawing you that you might repent and trust in Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Do you feel like your world's turned upside down? Oh, there's been times throughout my life. The first time I ever met my wife, oh, she turned my world upside down. But when she said she'd marry me, it was like God just turned my world right back up again. When you're walking according to the Word of God and listen what God would have for you in your life, He'll turn your world right backside up again. The Lord Jesus, the things that He taught, was so hard for the Pharisees and the Sadducees to gain an understanding of. He would tell them, the outside of the cup and the platter is clean, but the inward part is dirty. He would tell them to repent. He would tell them that they must be humble. He would tell them all of these things. But yet they could not, some of them believed, but most of them could not comprehend. And this morning I'm wanting you to understand something, that if you've never understood anything I've said to you for almost the last 3 years, listen to me this morning, that if you die without God, without being saved, without having a born-again experience this morning, I want you to know that you'll stand before Jesus Christ and you'll give an account. And do you understand this morning? Oh, I believe He'll deal with those who's heard the gospel, who know that they should have repented. I believe that He'll deal with you. Oh, I do this morning. So why? Jesus told him over here, he told in the 12th chapter of Luke, he says this. He says, I spake a parable unto you, saying the 16th verse. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. He said, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. So my friends, you find here a parable of this rich man who went out and he had barns, he had material possessions, and he thought within himself, I'll tear these down and I'll build greater. And he was trying to gain the things of the world. Listen to me this morning. If you gain the whole world, and my friend, and never know God, you lose your soul, you've lost everything. You've lost it all. Jesus Christ wants to turn your world right back up again. In a world that seems turned upside down, the only cure that I know of, the only hope that I know for mankind is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The one that gave His life. The only hope that I have. The only thing that I'm counting on when I draw my last breath on this earth is what God done for me as a little boy. That's all I've got. That's what I'm counting on. That when I close my eyes in death, that I'm going to see Jesus Christ. So my friend, this morning I want to tell the world, and I may not be able to tell the whole world, but I can tell you, and I can tell my neighbors, and I can tell my loved ones, and listen to me this morning. I'm not just counting on the mission, brethren, that we send out to foreign countries. Listen, the mission field starts when we leave these doors right here. When we go into our communities. When we go into our families. All of those different places. You're standing in the line at Walmart. Check it out. Listen, be a witness. Help somebody. Listen to me. If I quit ever being a help to somebody, I pray that God would take me up out of this place. I want to be a help to somebody. I can't save them, but I want to point them to the one that can. You know, one of the hardest things I ever experienced? When my little boy looked up at me off an altar and said, Daddy, I think I'm saved. It was almost like he was looking for an answer from me. And you know what I told him? I said, son, you got to know. And I said, the only way you're going to know is if you pray and ask God. God will tell you. I can't tell you this morning where you stand with God. Church, I'm telling you, we need a zeal. We need a burden. We need to get these lost upon our hearts. Used 2 years ago, whenever I went to church, and I don't know, but it seemed like the people would stand and say, I've got lost in my family. There's lost that's dying in my family. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. Listen to me, they're dead. They may not physically be dead, but they're dead in their sins and trespasses. They're dying. You know the only cure for them? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We need a burden. We need a zeal for God. It doesn't matter to me who they are this morning. Each and every, Jesus Christ died for everybody. It doesn't matter to me who they are or what they're from or what they've done. Jesus Christ died for them all. Let me tell you something this morning. If Jesus can forgive my sin, He can forgive anybody's. If they'll just go to Him with their whole heart, praying to Him, pouring their heart out to Him. This rich man decided he'd build great big barns, and then he decided, oh, I'll tear them down and I'll build me greater. The Lord spoke to him. He said, you fool, your soul is required of you tonight. Listen to me. You can go out here in this world and you can gain everything material in it. But if you die without God, my friend, you've never had anything. I love my family. Y'all know that by now. But I'm telling you, the peace that God has put in my heart, I wouldn't give it for nothing in this world. Nothing. Nothing. Millions and billions of dollars couldn't buy what God's put in my heart. I couldn't stand to go a moment without knowing that I've got that assurance in here. Because God might require my soul tonight. What about you? Does it seem like your world's turned upside down? I'm going to tell you this. Church, I pray that we have a zeal. I pray that we have a zeal like Paul did, like Silas did. You realize this morning those people were shipwrecked. They were whipped. They were beaten. They were in prison. James was beheaded. We got it pretty good, don't we? We got it pretty good. I pray that we have a desire to reach a world of lost people. There's a sea of lost people in this world that need to be saved. I can't save them, Brother Strode, but I sure can point them to the one that can. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen again. Oh, I've never seen Him with these eyes. But I can tell you He's real. I know He's real because I feel Him in my heart. I know He's real this morning. So if you're here and lost, won't you come seek the Lord? If it seems like your world's turned upside down, it won't ever be turned right side up again until the Lord Jesus does it for you. Come seek God while He may be found. We'll get a song.
Well, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything, won't we? Let's get our mauls and turn to number 76. Number 76.
Come seek the Lord.
Turned upside down.
Come seek the Lord.
An old-time Christian.